At this point in our Twitterized tabloid culture, you can pretty much expect famous people to reveal a little too much of themselves, or a lot too much, like, say, when Britney Spears forgoes underpants in public. A museum in New York City is trying to push self-revelation to another level. At the Rubin Museum, some very well-known people have been getting up on stage with a psychoanalyst and engaging in something like therapy. Cornel West and Alice Walker have done it, and Jack Dorsey, the guy who invented Twitter. Studio 360's Sarah Lilly has been eavesdropping on some of these events.
Before we get into things, here's a little story. In 1914, on the brink of World War I, a 38-year-old guy in Switzerland was having something of a nervous breakdown. The experience propelled him to spend the next 16 years recording his waking dreams. He was exploring those dreams in an effort to understand himself. There were serpents and Sherpas and agony and revelation. The man was Carl Gustav Jung, and he is known as the founder of analytical psychology. Jung fashioned a rather groovier therapy than Sigmund Freud's. It focused less on your mother and more on freeing your inner visions. He ultimately painted his own visions into a giant volume bound in red leather. It looks like an illuminated manuscript that someone might have burgled from a haunted castle.
If the Red Book is about self-exploration, the best way to explore ourselves, or at least started, is by following the lead of somebody we might be interested in or admire.
Tim McHenry is the producer at the Rubin Museum in New York, which is exhibiting the Red Book in public for the first time ever. McHenry's vision was to use the Red Book as a kind of prop in a series of dialogues between Jungian analysts and all kinds of influential people.
I just put a list together of all those people I thought would be willing to explore themselves in public, and not everybody said yes, but...
Oddly, though, a lot of people did.
Let's talk about Charlie Kaufman, known as a very private, retiring, guarded individual, I think, although wonderfully expressive in his films.
On stage, Kaufman was presented with an image from Jung's Red Book, a pattern of irregular waves and swirls in blue and tan.
It was being projected behind me.
Staring at it for a minute, I could make out on the left-hand side the ghost of a human figure embedded in the blue pattern. Set against it all on the right is the bright red figure of a person who seems to have been pierced in the chest by some sort of ray or maybe a spear.
The figure seems in some emotional state of either ecstasy or torture. My first instinct was torture, but that's me. Can really get lost in it. In the background, as you start to pull things out of the background, there are snakes and there are obviously eyes for all the psychotic people out there who see eyes everywhere.
The guest has to be prepared to dive down into it and release it. And not everybody, even though they were prepared to do the dialogue, not everybody was, once they're on stage, prepared to actually take that leap into the abyss.
That's really interesting that you say that. I mean, I certainly noticed it. The first one I went to was Sarah Silverman. It was almost like she was trying to interpret the image as if she was writing an essay for school and wanted to get the right answer.
Roots? Let's talk about those roots.
Yes.
Growth, tree, roots, the underground, the things we don't see, the things that are beneath that are unseen, the unconscious. All right, I'm getting it.
Yeah, she was eager, wasn't she? And that was sort of endearing because she was trying very, very hard. You see, the actual interpretation of the image is not ultimately what matters. It's what happens when the conversation moves beyond the image and suddenly you realize that the barriers are down.
Right now, I've spent so much time not doing stand-up that I'm really lost. that I came here because to New York, I made a chunk of time to just go up at little rooms and go up and try, you know, and not care if I'm blogged about or disappointing, but it's such a desire I have to please. You know, you work your whole life to try to find a crowd, to find try to find an audience. And then you have this experience where they're coming, they have specific expectations that have formed because of who you are, and you want to give them what they want, what they're expecting from you, but if what you do is giving something that is unexpected, hopefully, you find yourself in a quandary.
That was a revelation for most people.
It was, actually. Up until then, the night was borderline dull, which is shocking given that Silverman is a comedian whose stock in trade is racism and genitals. But here she's right. Expectations can make or break an evening, especially a Red Book dialogue.
It's very nice having lots of celebrities and well-known people on stage daring to do this. But then, you know, people from other walks of life endorsed the process because it worked with them as well as with everybody else. In fact, almost better on some levels.
Like a middle-aged, unassuming man named Mike. He works as an apartment building superintendent. He's responding to a Red Book image of a rudderless boat on a turbulent sea, and it conjures up delicate feelings for him.
I guess it's a fear of inadequacy, and ties in with other aspects of my life. You know, my regrets about not finishing my education, my station in life. One of the biggest issues is when I discovered I was HIV positive. You know, it's scary knowing how people are going to react to it. So navigating that is always on my mind.
There's an underlying elemental something or other that emerges in most of these dialogues. Jung believed in the collective unconscious, that there is something seminal that's common to all humankind.
Maybe, or maybe not. I'm still not sure how to evaluate a Red Book dialogue. Is it supposed to be entertaining, spiritually enlightening, a whole new kind of voyeurism? I don't know. But when we all sit with dream doctors in a big subterranean room and look at crazy pictures together, more often than not, something's going to happen. Something weird and occasionally wonderful.
I see this as theater, in a way, because it's like a giant improv session. And, you know, the Red Book of Carl Gustav Jung is the basis of the script.
For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Lilly.
And the Red Book dialogues are continuing through mid-February. Matthew Weiner, the creator of Mad Men, is up on February 6th. The schedule is at studio360.org. Carl Jung's Red Book has just been published for the first time by W.W. Norton.